So now time for the final batch of news in our Easter editions, and unfortunately not really many Easter stories, although Uta did have one about an Easter egg hunt. So one story out of all the stories we've done over Easter. Okay, so we have some headlines for you now. So Lizzie's headlines are...
Parents of boy who failed to attend school, he was threatened by knife gang. And Staffordshire named one of UK's worst areas for truck thieves.
And my headlines are: woman took on boyfriend's drug dealing duties for J-Line gang after his arrest, and Steelite International to axe 31 workers at Middleport factory. Now I'm going to do the first story for you, which is a woman...
I've got my quiz.
Oh, your quiz. It's a good job you reminded me.
The first answer...
Hang on a minute, hang on. I need to bring some music in. So it's now time to have the answers to Liz's one and only quiz with Liz.
Right, my first answer to a question earlier was, it's not John Williams, it's David Williams, is the MP for Stoke North.
Well, it wasn't a quiz question, was it?
No, but it was a question. I asked you the name of your MP and you didn't know the name of your MP.
Well, I knew it wasn't John Williams, which is what you said.
Well,
so.
Well, I got half of it right. Okay. I knew half of it. You didn't know any of it. It's David Williams. All due apologies.
I'm sure
to David
he's changed
Williams.
Recently, though. I'm sure he hasn't been there for years.
He changed on the 4th of July last year.
Yeah, well, it's only... It's less than a year ago.
I'm just not.
I think I knew the one before that. Off you go. Anyway.
Oh, the one before was Jonathan Goulis.
Yeah,
well, you knew him.
Yeah, I knew
right.
him.
Right. Number one, the oldest alliance still in force is a 1373 treaty between England and which other European country? And the answer is Portugal. Number two, what is the technical name for the breastbone? It is a sternum. Number three, Morpeth is the administrative centre of which English county? Northumberland. Number four, how many sides does a decagon have? It has 10 sides. Number five, what name is given to the art or process of paper folding? Origami. Number six, my father's family name being Pirrip are the opening words to which Dickens novel? It's Great Expectations. And I knew that because it's Pip. It's Pippish. I knew the main character was called Pip. That was on the programme I was watching. Was it The Chase or something? The person who answered got it wrong. But I knew the right answer. Number seven. Which is the largest city by population in Australia? Sydney. Number eight, the word renal relates to which organ of the body? It relates to the kidney. Number nine, which waterway opened in 1801 links London with the Midlands? It's the Grand Union Canal. Number 10, which word beginning with the letter C is given to the art of bell ringing? Campanology. And the bonus, the 2004 film Finding Neverland, starring Kate Winslet and Johnny Depp, is about the life of which author? It's about J.M. Barrie, yeah. Who wrote Peter Pan.
I knew that.
Oh, Tim knew that. He doesn't know the name of his MP.
But yeah, but J.M. Barrie, I was actually saying that when you were saying what it was. I said J.M. Barrie.
All right, so you knew that, but you don't know the name. What's the name of your MP?
It's Dave Williams, but only because you've told me it's Dave Williams. But I knew the old one.
You're a mate of his, Dave Williams. I never said Dave, I said David.
Well, no.
He's a personal friend now, Tim.
He's not, but sort of MPs are as much use as, like, I went to see Joan Wally about something once, and she was as much use as a, she didn't do anything at all. So I think since then, it totally put me off, like, sort
since
of taking
then,
any
we've
interest.
Had, what was her name? Ruth Smeath. Jonathan Goulis.
I remember him.
Dave,
he was hopeless
Dave,
as well.
Mate Dave Williams. So we've had loads of MPs since Joan Wally.
Yes, but I went to see Joan Wally about some. I can't even remember what it was now, but it was something quite important to me, but she was hopeless. So.
Well, you can't. You've had four since then, haven't you? Ruth Smeath.
Yeah, but you can never get an appointment with them anyway, because I know people who've tried getting an appointment in Smallthorne and they've never been able to get an appointment. So,
have you tried Dave, though, your mate?
Yeah, I bet people in the pub call him Dave. Right. Okay.
Can I just say I can get a hold of my MP easily? Mine's in Newcastle. He's called Adam. I'm obviously a personal friend.
Oh, I like the name Adam.
I'll
have him instead. Right. Okay. So, story time. We'll turn that music off.
Of the Prime Minister?
Huh?
Do you know the name of
Of course I know the name of him. You can't not know the name of him. He's in the news every day at the moment. Ooh. Like, trying to talk
What's
down
his name,
Trump.
Then? You haven't named
Keir
him.
Starmer.
Oh, he does know, doesn't he?
Like, I get alerts about him about 26 times a day. Okay, so the next story is woman took on boyfriend's drug dealing duties for J-Line gang after his arrest. And apologies if I struggle with some of the names in this one. Foolish Angarad Badkin sold drugs after taking on her partner's duties in the J-Line gang following his arrest. The 33-year-old supplied heroin and crack cocaine while her boyfriend was in custody on July the 5th and 6th, 2023. But she was arrested with another man in a Honda Civic in the car park at Sainsbury's, Newcastle, under Lyme. In the centre console were four crack cocaine deals worth £80, seven deals of heroin worth between £210 and £280, one deal of heroin worth £100 to £120, and one deal of crack cocaine worth £20. Now, Badkin has been sentenced to 22 months in prison, suspended for 18 months at Stoke-on-Trent Crown Court after she did a runner. The court heard three men were jailed in December for their role in a major drugs conspiracy known as the J-Line, which sold drugs throughout the Potteries. Badkin's partner was arrested on July the 4th, 2023, in a van in Abbey Holton. Two mobiles were seized, along with a large amount of cash and drugs, from inside the van. Badkin sent the conspiracy leader a text offering to sort things until her partner returned home. But the next day she was arrested in Newcastle, and she was due to be sentenced on December the 12th, but absconded from court. Badkin of Swallows Nest Close Blurton pleaded guilty to two charges of being concerned in the supply of a Class A drug and failing to attend court. Barry White, mitigating, said that Badkin's offending was very short-lived. He said she accepts 2 days and it was a very short period of time. She has very few convictions and has no previous for drug dealing. She became involved through an element of naivety and foolishness, and Mr. White asked the court to give Badkin a chance. He added she had obtained a negative drug test. After doing everything wrong, I suggest there are elements of her starting to do things right. She's learned a lesson. As part of the suspended sentence, Badkin must complete a rehabilitation activity requirement for 30 days, and recorder Robert Smith said the J-Line was a drugs conspiracy to provide Class A drugs throughout this city. You were not part of the wider conspiracy. You sent a text to the leader offering to sort things until your partner returned home. You meant to step into the breach and supply Class A drugs. The leader had to take the reins of the day-to-day running back, and you were sent to deliver cocaine and heroin later that day. The next day, police stopped and detained you. I accept you are not a sophisticated criminal. The drugs that you were involved in supplying are highly addictive and ruin lives. So over to Liz, who's going to do her next story for us in batch number 8.
Parents of boy who failed to attend school. He was threatened by knife gang. Parents who failed to ensure their son went to his Stoke-on-Trent school regularly claim he was threatened with a knife by youths and feared for his life. The teenager had said he would rather die than go to lessons and was referred to Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, that's CAMHS, C-A-M-H-S. North Staffordshire magistrates heard he lived more than 3 miles from the school and the alleged bullying he had faced had taken place in the community. Rebecca Reaney, prosecuting on behalf of Stoke-on-Trent City Council, said that between February the 28th and June the 18th, 2024, he attended school on just 31 occasions out of 126. There has been previous extensive involvement with the education welfare team with this family, she added. The mother said the boy had mental health problems and anger issues. A GP appointment had been made for the 21st of March and they were going to seek help for him. They spoke of him struggling with depression over the past year, and he was having issues with a group of people from the Shelton community who were ex-pupils of the school. It had affected his mental health, and he felt unsafe in the community. It was explained he was of compulsory school age. It was suggested he get in touch with Stay Well, a wellbeing service for under-18s about anger management. On the 22nd of April, there was a home visit. He had been to his GP and they were sending him to therapy. He said he had been getting bullied when he had been out in the community and he had been attacked and was scared for his life. He said a knife was pulled on him, but the police were not informed because he didn't know who the people were and didn't want any repercussions. He was advised to inform the police. He said he was not going back to school and would rather die than go to school. He said he does not leave the house and only felt safe where he lives. Although the boy had been referred to CAMHS, he did not engage with the service, the court heard. His school absence meant he missed some of his GCSE exams and he has now left school and is reluctant to carry on studying at college. Magistrate Philip Taylor questioned why the family did not contact the police. He also asked, why didn't you access further resources to help your son with his mental health? Speaking through an interpreter, the boy's parents said, we were not able to take him for a further assessment because he refused to go. He didn't want to be thought of as a crazy person. He was being threatened by 10 to 15 youths that they would cut him with knives. He was crying at home, smashing things, and saying he would not go to school. The parents were each fined £550. They were also ordered to pay £120 surcharge and £130 prosecution costs each.
Well, that was a shorty. So... my next story, I'm also going to squeeze another tiny one in after as well, because I've got a very short one. Steelite International to axe 31 workers at Middleport factory. Potteries giant Steelite International is maintaining its position as a global leader by announcing plans to axe 31 jobs. The Middleport company has blamed the decision on lower demand for UK products and rising employment costs, which kicked in this month. It comes as the company has 660 employees. A Steelite International spokesperson said that Steelite International is optimising its UK operations in response to current market conditions, including a softer demand for its UK manufactured products and rising employment costs. These adjustments are part of a focused strategy to ensure that long-term strength, sustainability and competitiveness of the UK business, while continuing to drive the broader success of our global group. To align our resources with current market realities and maintain our position as a global leader, we will reduce our workforce by 31 employees across both operational and support functions. These are difficult decisions and we recognise the impact on those affected. Our priority is to handle this transition with care, providing appropriate support to impacted colleagues. Despite these changes, Steelite International remains a resilient and financially stable business with strong performance across key global markets. And as market conditions improve, we fully expect to be in a position to reinvest in our UK operations, and we remain committed to our people, our customers, and our long-term vision. We thank all of our employees for their continued dedication and contribution to Steelite's ongoing success. And just to mention Stoke-on-Trent's getting two new bus services, and they are going to be the number 27, which will serve Dividi Road, Beverly Drive, Mearhay and Longton, and provide a direct link between Bentley and Longton for the first time in years. And the number 96 will serve Newchapel, Patmore, Tunstall and Middleport. It is more than 10 years since public transport has operated in the heart of Middleport. The new service has been funded through the council's Buzz Service Improvement Plan, and Councillor Finlay Gordon McCusker, Cabinet Member for Transport Infrastructure and Regeneration at Stoke-on-Trent City Council, listed that we've listened to residents and we know that these services are vitally needed. As I always say, the more people who use the buses, then the more sustainable they become and the longer those bus services can continue. So over to Liz, who's going to do the final story for us in batch number 8.
Staffordshire named one of UK's worst areas for truck thieves. Staffordshire has been named as a hotspot for thieves targeting trucks. Measures such as CCTV and security fencing has needed to go in at some overnight parking locations in the county in an effort to combat the problem. Last month, concerns were raised in Parliament over criminal gangs who looked to swipe cargo from wagons on laybys, along with on-the-move heists. A report from 2023 said there had been 5,370 reports of HGV and cargo crime in the UK, with £68.3 million worth of goods being hauled off. Staffordshire was named as the fifth worst area for such crime, with 302 reports. Essex topped the offending list with 374, followed by West Yorkshire 345, South Yorkshire 328 and Warwickshire 314. Labour MP Rachel Taylor, who chairs the All-Party Parliamentary Group APPG for Freight and Logistics, has called for a new crime code so police can better track freight crime. She claims thieves who steal from the back of lorries, leaving with high-value hauls, often belong to organised crime groups. Her freight crime bill was put to the Commons, which would mean larger thefts not lumped together with domestic car break-ins and other car crime. She had earlier said, "Too many people think theft from a van or lorry is low-level opportunistic crime. This is not true. Freight crime is committed by organised criminal gangs. It's dangerous and it's cost the UK economy £1 billion since 2020. More action is urgently needed." Staffordshire Police's road crime team say security measures have gone in at overnight parking areas, with local policing teams working with trucking firms. Inspector Sean Hathaway said the road crime team, RCT, proactively patrols areas where freight crime is an issue, and as part of their daily briefing, RCT officers receive an update on incidents of freight crime in the last 24 hours and are briefed on any hotspot areas so we can direct resources appropriately. "We've also had a number of arrests for these types of offences. Local policing teams, that's LPTs, are also engaging with companies that provide overnight parking for HGVs to ensure that appropriate crime prevention measures are in place. A number of overnight parking locations have installed measures such as improved CCTV and security fencing. This is actually recognised as a national issue, and there is now a national senior investigating officer to ensure a more joined-up approach. And earlier this year, the RCT participated in a regional freight crime operation, working alongside roads policing colleagues from bordering, alongside roads policing colleagues, I think that is, from bordering forces.